Well, welcome to the show. Man, I have something fun ahead of us and a lot of learning. And I wanted you guys to kind of listen up and learn about something new with me. I ran across a company that's doing some work here in Western New York. They're called EDF Renewables. And I was wondering, what is it that they're going to be doing? So we got together and went back and forth on a lot of phone calls and kind of figured out, let's talk about what they're going to do here. So I have Kevin on the line from EDF Renewables. Let's start at the beginning. Hey, Kevin, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. It's great to be here today.
Yeah. So EDF Renewables, let's talk about exactly what you guys are and how that works.
Yeah, so EDF Renewables is a renewable energy company. So the company gets involved in developing solar, wind, energy storage projects all across North America, be it the United States, Canada, or Mexico. I think one thing that sets apart EDF Renewables is it's one of the largest operations and maintenance companies in North America operating and maintaining solar and wind facilities. So when we get involved in the development of a solar project, the intent of the company is to be involved in the project through to the end. Overall in North America, we have over 1,000 employees, and we've done small projects and some very large projects like the one that we are proposing here in the town of Heartland.
So it's right up the road here in Niagara County, and you're a solar company, and I mean, which everybody's green nowadays, which is fantastic, and you're bringing your show to us here in Niagara County. How fantastic is that? So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are a really big player in this game.
Yeah, EDF Renewables is one of the leading renewable energy companies across North America. We've, you know, at one point in time, we had the largest solar facility in all of North America.
Wow.
Installed in Ottawa, Ontario. At the time, 10 years ago, it was on 200 acres of land, which maybe pales in comparison to a lot of the facilities that are being developed nowadays. But the company continues to be very active in the solar market across North America. And right now across New York State, we're in the process of proposing projects in various communities worth about 2,000 megawatts of overall electricity. And that amount of electricity can power almost 500,000 homes in New York State.
Holy cow, man. So, and then it just so happens, because it's just sheer coincidence, that you are a two-hour drive from us, because you guys do work all over the world, literally all over the world. But it just so happens you're right in Toronto, right? Your corporate office?
That's right, yeah. Our North American corporate office is in San Diego.
Oh.
But like I mentioned, the company is active in Mexico, the United States, and Canada. So when I first started working for EDF Renewables back in 2010, I was working on solar projects across the province of Ontario. And since then, worked on solar projects and wind projects across Canada. But then 3 years ago, when New York State really started ramping up its renewable energy program, our Toronto office was well sited to meet that opportunity and to support the New York market. And as a matter of fact, this project we're proposing in Heartland is the closest drive I've had to any project in my 10 years at the company. So it's a different country, but it feels like it's right in our backyard.
Yeah, how nice for you to only have a short drive as opposed to a hotel and weeks on end away from home. Very nice. So tell me, when you guys are considering like a solar, is this called a solar farm? What is the proper name for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a bit of a tricky question too, because originally a lot of people were calling them solar farms. And then we decided, well, let's call them solar energy facilities. But the more I think of it, the more I think solar farm. term is fitting because, as people know in the community who I've spoken to already, one of our objectives is to have some component of agriculture, some component of farming integrated in this project. We've seen in other projects like the Arnprior project that I mentioned previously, for the last 3 years, we've had sheep grazing under the solar panels, consuming the vegetation growing under the solar panels. I mean, shade is not the friend of solar because that, you know, takes away from some of the production we could make. And at the same time, if we have this vegetation under the solar panels, what better way to utilize it than having sheep grazing under the panels? So the farmer that we've had at Arnprior basically came and knocked on our door and said, hey, you've got all this additional vegetation under your panels. Do you mind if we try a little test project and bring some sheep under there and see if it works? And so this young farming couple was able to grow their operation since then and have a new source of free-range grass-fed lamb for the local market. So they've been very, very pleased with that. And also, we have an apiarist that we're working with at the Arnprior facility, and they've been able to produce roughly 300 12-ounce jars of honey every year from the beehives that they have established at the facility. So I think more and more I'm coming to accepting the term solar farm, because really it is a farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that makes total sense, especially where you're looking at here in Western New York. I mean, in Niagara County is a lot of farm country, and Heartland certainly fits that category. So I like the term solar farm, if you're comfortable with it, because in my mind, it conjures up exactly what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, these solar panels that are going to be on the site for 30 years, 40 years, I don't know how long at the end of the day, but it's almost like a monoculture, right? There's a lot of parallels that can be driven between, you know, the solar panels out there and an agricultural crop that's out there. I mean, it's all taking energy from the sun and converting it to a usable product, be it food or ethanol or electricity. So really, there's a lot of parallels that can be driven between what we're trying to do and more typical agriculture or farming.
Sure. And then when you're actually, okay, you probably have a zillion places to look at. And I mean, I always say that, and it's true about Canada too, any American or any Canadian needs to get in their car and drive across these countries and experience these countries, because you have no idea how big this country is. I've known people that have flown over it their entire lives, never drove. They have no idea when you fly over how vast this place is that we live. So when you're looking at one of these, you're considering an area, the first thing that comes into play is, I guess, how much sun do they get, right?
That's right, yeah. And it's really three key ingredients for me that go into a well-sited solar facility like the one we're proposing here. Number one is that electricity has to have a place to go. So we have to be located near a transmission line or an electricity line that has capacity to take that electricity.
Oh, so wait a second.
You
actually brought up a great point, because I was thinking, you know, with the falls and all the generation we do of electricity here, you know, why here? And that makes sense. All the lines are already here. Okay. Hey, the light bulb is off over my head right now, Kevin. It's making sense to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned Niagara Falls, and over and above that, there's the coal facility that just recently closed to the north in Somerset, and there's a great infrastructure of power lines that come from that facility, joining into the New York, electrical grid infrastructure. And so, you know, what a perfect way to maybe replace the coal that used to go on those lines with another source of electricity that can bring local benefits and use that infrastructure that otherwise, you know, maybe not used to its fullest extent. So proximity to that electrical line is a key consideration for project siting. The second one is having available land. So let's say the Adirondack State Park was located in this area. It probably wouldn't be the best place to put a solar facility because we'd be cutting a lot of trees down in a potentially sensitive area.
Yes.
So having some land that's already been you know, clear cut, is available for agricultural production. You know, solar likes the same kind of land that agriculture likes, right? Because we already drilled those parallels between solar and agriculture. So that's number two, the open land areas that are available in the community to help us site the solar panels. And number three is having a supportive community. So we need to rely on landowners being willing to host these solar panels and inverters and other equipment in order to make the project work. And so, you know, thank goodness for us, it's been a great community. And we already have more than 30 families who are participating in the project and who have agreed to host solar project components on their properties. So those are the three key ingredients. It's having access to the electricity grid, having access to available land that is free of constraints like wetlands and creeks and, you know, forested areas that maybe have sensitive species living within them. And then also having a supportive community. So that's what really makes these projects happen.
Wow. And you've got it all right here. How lucky are we in Niagara County in Western New York? So how much does the sun play into this? The weather, does it play in at all? Now these solar panels are sucking up energy and no matter what's going on, except for at night, I assume.
Yeah, right. So the weather is always a consideration. I mean, the more sun you get, the more revenues you can make because the more power you're putting on the grid. So that has obviously a big impact as well. So without the sun, we're not making money and you know, the project won't be viable. So if I compare it to wind, so there's a really big variation across New York State in the wind resource. You know, if you're up on a ridge, it'll be a lot more windy than if you're down in a valley.
Sure.
When you talk about solar, you know, let's say you have Buffalo versus New York City, it's not like it's going to be 50% more sunny in New York City than it is in Buffalo. So the variation in the solar resource is a lot less within a specific region. But if we compare it to, say, California and Texas, you know, the solar resource there is much, much better. They're closer to the equator. It's a lot more sunny. So, and that's really the reason why large solar projects have been propping up through the southern states for many years. And today they're just starting to prop up across the northern states, including New York. And that's really akin to the fact that the price for solar panels has really dropped in the last few years. You know, 10 years ago when I started working in this industry, you know, solar panels were maybe 8 to 10 times more expensive than they are today. So because of that, the cost for the electricity has really come down in leaps and bounds, and the panels are more efficient, which means we need to install less panels, which saves on construction costs as well. So all these factors contribute that today it's economical to install solar in New York State. However, it's, you know, many years after it was economical to install them in the southern states.
Sure. And that all makes perfect sense to me. We are talking with Kevin with EDF Renewables. And, well, we decided we're going to call it a solar farm. It's coming soon to Heartland near you, which is in Niagara County. If you don't know where it is, Heartland, New York, and the soon-to-be home for... How big is this thing going to be, Kevin, if everything goes the way it's supposed to?
You know, it is a large project, so we're looking at a 350 megawatt project, which would make enough electricity to generate power for, say, 70 to 80,000 New York homes. It would take up about 2,000 acres of land with solar panels, which is why we're, you know, focusing so much attention on bringing some form of agriculture into the project, because we do recognize that 2,000 acres is a lot of land, but we want to make sure that we can still use it for agriculture and other things, as well as producing solar electricity. Now, the reason why the project has to be so big is the line that we're connecting to, the transmission lines coming from Somerset, they're high voltage lines, so they're on the big towers. They're very expensive lines to connect to, which means we need more economies of scale to make the project worthwhile, to make it economical. So if we were just proposing a 20 megawatt project on 100 acres of land, you know, this project would be very, very, very uneconomical because there wouldn't be enough energy to pay for the cost of interconnection. So that's why we need to propose a 350 megawatt project on 2,000 acres of land. That's what's required to make this project work.
So we are talking to Kevin with EDF Renewables, and we're talking about a solar farm coming to Heartland, New York. And we're just starting out, just kind of scraping the surface of how this all works and how it benefits us here in Niagara County and New York State and everyone. I mean, green energy is important right now. And with a generation station or a coal electric provider is closed, you know, we're going to fill that gap with sun. That's amazing. So we're going to stay with Kevin and stay right here. We're going to be right back.